Hello, would you please start by stating your full name, the date, the time, and your location?
Hi, my full name is Saad Ramzi Ismail. I go by Steve Ramzi. I live in Alberta, Canada, in Grand Prairie, city of Grand Prairie, Alberta, Canada. Today is Saturday, July 16, 2022. And it's almost 4 o'clock p.m.
And do you consent to having this interview recorded, digitally uploaded, and publicly released under a Creative Commons license, attribution, non-commercial, share alike?
Yes, I do, please.
Would you please start by introducing yourself to anyone who might find themselves listening? What would you want them to know about you?
Well, I go by Steve Ramsey. I'm a medical sonographer. I have a PhD in public health and health science from Wisconsin University, and my master's degree in medical ultrasound from Charles Stewart University in Australia, in Mogawaga University, Australia. My BSc in diagnostic imaging, also from Charles Stewart University in Australia. And I've got multiple diplomas. I got diploma in radiography from Canada, diploma in sonography in Canada. I got diploma in natural health and multiple certification, mostly ultrasound, vascular, cardiovascular, and general sonography. And my main work now is MSK, musculoskeletal sonography, joints and nerve. And I work here in Grand Prairie with a pain management and a radiologist. I do 90% of MSK, muscle, tendons, joints, and nerves, and of course, at a general sonography. I write a lot. I have my own blog. It's mixed between parapsychology and psychology and the paranormal zone. And I do a lot of psychology writing in my blog. And I publish a lot in medical ultrasound in USA, UK, Italy, and with mostly medical journals and deal with ultrasound and diagnostic imaging. And I presented many lectures in Japan, Korea, Italy. My original language, I'm a mixed race, mixed between Macedonian Greek mother side and Lebanese father side. So I speak Arabic, I speak Greek. So English, as you know, it's not my first language. It's kind of hard, but it took me a long time to conquer the English language. It's one of the most difficult one.
Would you tell me a story about your life during the pandemic?
Well, there is so many different stories to with so many different peoples. It's kind of worse than mine. Some people, as I know, they lost their loved one, and that's the worst tragedy that's they ever have. They lost jobs, some of them bankrupts. I know friends even they end up divorced, and it was so difficult for them, economically, from economical perspective. They end up divorced because of that, and the husband end up leaving to USA. The wife is still here with the kids, and it's kind of destroyed lives. In my experience, for me, I never thought it's going to hit us. There is a few things in here. As soon as COVID hit, actually in Canada, I believe it was 2 years ago, they started in March. But I have I kind of I debate this. I think the virus was in Canada way back in December, 2 3 months before, because I've got a disease mixed between severe flu and bronchitis. As that time, the radiologist, when he see the chest X-ray, he thought it's a bronchitis. But now when I see that film, I know it's COVID, because at that time you see a lot of radiologists. They didn't know how COVID lung looked like. And I work with a group with a lot of Chinese owner. They owned that clinic. And I remember we have a lot of Chinese travelers and so many people coughing in the room with ultrasound. I remember I got it from somebody, but I thought it's going to be just cough and flu, maybe cold. I've got severe cold and temperature rise. I lost my voice. Then they thought maybe it's a laryngitis and things like that. And I went with 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a half. I cannot even move. And because I don't know nothing about it, I talked to the guy there. I said, he didn't tell me to stay home because we thought it just, called the thing, so we put a mask. But that later on, when we got the virus, we put a mask, but I continue working. So imagine how many people I myself infected after that. And that was like two months before the COVID kind of was publicly released and things. And I remember we talked to the governments here and please shut the border. And they were against it. You know, the government here, they continue bringing those people, especially from China and others. I know they are Canadian citizens, but this is life-threatening. We don't know nothing about it. They kept them moving and coming from, excuse me, from China and other places. They usually go to Vancouver, Toronto, Montreal. And those areas were like specifically targeted, you know, and we got pandemic, we got a lot of trouble with that virus in Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal, and of course the rest of Canada later on. After a while, then the Canada shut the border a little bit, but it was too late, you know. I was recovering after that. I recovered and I continued a month after that, you know, with severe kind of tiredness, muscle fatigue, like it was very bad kind of flu. And I didn't know until later on when I checked my x-ray before, after that, and then I checked my system and I knew I got affected with it. Then I thought, well, this is, it could be just like any other variation of a flu disease, flu virus and things, and we could recover from it. But then, of course, it started to hit our economy. And then I lost my job, you know, 5 months. They because the government asked each companies to cut down on personnel, cut down on, you know, I think they give them 50%. They have to kind of operate in 50%. The owner, he owned four clinics. So one of the clinic in South I used to work with, he shut it down. So I got laid off. And of course, when you get laid off and a few thousand, $5,000 a year, a month, and then suddenly you end up taking $2,000 from the government, you barely pay in the mortgage. So you end up using your credit because you still have to pay gasoline and food and things like that. So, and then they give you other $2,000 for help or $1,500. Of course, the last month they end up taking it away from us. But nobody talk about this $20,000 we lost, you know, depend on your salary level. And after when we finished, then they brought me back 6 months of part-time again. So we end up losing that. And then 1 year after that, which is the last year, I lost 2 hours a day. So I end up, wake up in the morning, I left Calgary. So I moved to Grand Prairie last year. I got a good job over here. As soon as I got the job, I asked him to get a contract. I said, if you sign this contract, because he really wants me, I said, I could move here on one condition. You have to sign a contract that if COVID or any other virus comes, I still be senior. You cannot just kick me out or I get, that's the reason I'm moving. And he signed that contract. As soon as he signed it, I checked it with my lawyer to make sure there's no other things in it. I could get all full benefit if they you know, work against it. And I moved. I moved last year and I'm very happy here in Grand Prairie working with this group, fabulous group. And I just left Calgary, which is, I lived in Okotoks, a city south of Calgary. And of course, other things, you know, mentally or physically, not just economically and health-wise, but you end up losing friends. We used to, you know, contact with family members and relatives and friends face-to-face. So the relation and communication fabrics of our society changes. We start losing trust, you know, with each other. And of course, people start to get angry because the first thing, they get shocked when they get laid off and they get in shock. It's just like a relationship. And then after that, you deny it. And then in the end, you end up angry. Then they point in fingers. And then communities start to fight community. People start fighting with other people. And pointing fingers. I'm one of them. I'm sorry to say that. I should be more open-minded and not be prejudiced. But when you start to lose income and you start to lose things, you start to blame somebody. Always it's a blaming game. I know it's wrong. So I was used to point finger on the Chinese and things. But then I kind of said, I said, well, it doesn't work that way because, you know, German measles, it's not, the people have nothing to do with that disease. You know, Middle East SARS, African Ebola. But the problem is I was kind of fixed on it because German, they don't care when you say German measles. Nobody say, well, don't say that. Middle East the same, African the same. Only Chinese, particularly as soon as you say China virus, everybody get upset. That's what triggered me because it is China virus. It is coming from you. And the communist machine, they start to fight, you know, with their teeth to make sure it doesn't belong to them, and they blame USA and all that. And you know that so many theories comes and fake news and all that, messing it up. They try to mess you up so you don't know the truth. Is it USA scientists? Is it the Chinese virus? But later on, of course, when we relax, I thought, well, I cannot just blame those people. They got the same disease, they die too, and all this. Virus is a virus. They don't know culture or religion and things. But that's what we went through. Like, we went through a lot. Like, it was a test to ourselves, test to our dignity, and test to our... I never thought I'm going to be in that level of prejudiced. I was so ashamed later on. Like, I said, what happened to me? It really affected me. It affected me a lot, you know. And affect me in a level, even some people I know, I avoid seeing them. I ban them from my emails. I don't talk to them just because they're Chinese. Later on, of course, I changed that idea, you know, but it takes time to earn the trust again, you know. And of course, the media, especially the right-wing media, play a great deal with it because they poison you with this idea and fake news. And of course, I'm like anybody else. I didn't want to get the vaccine for first month, 3 months. And then I see what's going around me, you know, seniors, they start dying and things. I thought, well, in my age, I better study the science behind it. So I did my own study, study the data as a study, because I thought, well, I don't gonna trust those people. I don't know who's lying. And you cannot trust the science because we have no data yet. What's happening if you're gonna get the disease? You know, because you don't know what's happening. Just like you remember in the 80s when AIDS comes, we were scared. I remember the manager told us, which is stupid. He said, it's up to you guys, sonographer. If you feel want to do the ultrasound, that's fine. If you don't, that's your business, which is because we didn't know about AIDS in the 80s. So a lot of people refused taking patients with AIDS. And we didn't know, like, you don't gonna get AIDS like that, you know, just by ultrasound. So I remember we used to gloves and mask and put everything in, and we make sure not to touching the patient. And of course, that was after the data comes and we know the science, you know, it's only come with sexual transmission or the fluid, body fluid, then it was okay. But in that time, Canada didn't even, you know, it's not illegal to say to the sonographer, sorry, I cannot do this patient, you got AIDS. That's your right. But of course, you cannot do that now. So I remember the same thing happened with this COVID. I know a lot of people refuse it. Of course, if they are in the union in the hospital, they can't. They have to wear protective gear and things. But I know a lot of people in the clinical setting, in the private setting, they refused. They didn't want to go to the job. They took long vacation. They tried to avoid it somehow. And every time they have a case with COVID, they put them in a special room, and only those who want to do it, they can do it. Then the boss or the manager give them incentive a little bit and all this. Yeah, so that's what I remember, like I got in my mind, you know. And we're still going through the sixth wave or seventh wave is coming soon. I could see our airport here just start to get the tough measure again. So it's not finishing yet.
Do you remember when you first heard about COVID-19?
Yeah, 2-3 months. Of course, I didn't know that. I got that, but I heard it just the first week, which is December. I remember, let me see, December. I think it's March 2019. That's what the waves start to hit BC, British Columbia. but we didn't have too much in Alberta yet. But I knew there was people there in Alberta have it before that, because that's where I got infected with them. And some other people, of course, wrote many data, said, we got the virus there before, because the traveler keep coming way before they know. But then when things got bad, then they say, okay, we got this COVID. So it's about March 2019.
What were some of your early reactions?
Reaction to the virus or?
Yes, to hearing about the virus when you first started hearing about it.
Well, first, like anything else, I thought in the beginning, I thought, well, this is tough kind of flu. You know, that's goodness I have some background in public health and health sciences, and we did a lot of study on virology, bacteriology, and epidemiology and all this. So it pushed me to go and hit the books again. I got all my books and start to read again, because when I finished my PhD, I wanted to be in a research facility, but because I don't like to work in the public health and things, I wanted to go in the research. When I could not get into research and they want to push me toward epidemiology, I quit. I went back to my ultrasound, used my master's degree for the ultrasound. So I study a lot of stuff, and I was kind of scared, you know, because there were a lot of fake news in the town and the news and the genetic mutation. And we thought it's some sort of things got to do with USA, the CIA, and the Chinese intelligence, you know, the lab. You remember before those scientists come and explain this virus cannot be made by man and explain it why. And of course, for people like me, I study it. I know they're correct. But for the other people, like 80%, they lost a trust. They know that the government up to something. They want to do this so they could give you the injections and all this. And I was kind of afraid. I'm afraid because I don't know what to believe in the beginning, because it was so much negative and so much fake news, very powerful. Before the government start to, you know, control the situation with the media, especially in Facebook and other in the TV, and they start to put measure on fake news, and then we start to see the real numbers, real data, real scientists, they come over. And then I start to feel at ease a bit, not as scared. You know, it's a little kind of different virus, maybe stronger than the flu. And then it make it easy for me to take my first vaccine. But I was really afraid. You know, I come home, every time I go, I look myself in the mirror, everything okay next day, is the vaccine gonna turn me to a monkey or what? You know, because you hear a lot of stories, and I look at my skin, I look at be very sensitive. I look at my habits. Did I eat okay? Did it affect my drinks, my water supply, my thing? Then it was normal. Everything is okay. And then they come back, and the fake news comes and say, well, you don't gonna feel it now, 10 years or 15 years from now. So they try to poison you more to worry you, to get worry, oh, you don't feel it now until 15 years. I say, well, 15, 20 years, I'll probably pass away. I better take my vaccine then. I don't want to pass away now. So I took the second vaccine. Now I'm going for the third. I think maybe next couple more weeks. I took Moderna. So hopefully in 2 weeks, I take the third shot.
What's your experience with health and healthcare infrastructure been like before the pandemic?
Well, before the pandemic, I know we don't know about the COVID situation, but a lot of other viruses, a lot of other stuff. We used to write through the media and through the blogs and things and discussion. We weren't ready. I know our ICU situation, it's not ready because the government, especially here in Canada, I don't know why USA, we have a good system just to make you buy. Our system is not designed for this kind of pressure and stress on it. That's why you see it a little bit cheaper, a little bit freer, our medication cheaper, because it's easy for the medication, for the procedures. But as soon as you get thousands and thousands of people coming to the emergency and things, you see what happened. ICU shut down. We don't have respiratory And we talk about it way before, actually, not because of COVID, but because of other situation and because of the war. Because when we thought war going to come, many countries, they're going to use chemicals. And are we ready to get these, this under control? And of course, the government and the politician, they always say, we're ready for anything, because they just want to win the election, and they don't have the real numbers. They say we have the army hospitals and things. And that wasn't true with the COVID situation. Even the involvement with the army hospitals and things, and we were too short. And you remember, we begging the Americans to get respiratory machines and things for our patients in here. But hopefully this is kind of awakening for us, because sooner or later, worse disease will come. And this is like from the beginning of the history. When the Spanish come over here and kill 150,000 Native Indian, of course, they didn't know. They bring them the Spanish virus and kill them. And with the other people, like from England, deliberately, of course, they brought blankets infested with insect and kill a lot of Indian too. So they can use these germs, these bacteria, viruses, to really, manipulate the population. So that's why a lot of people here, they distrust the government when it comes to COVID and things. They thought, well, that's something sinister. They tried to attack the people. I don't know how that's going to work, because you remember there's a situation now in England where they put a microchip in your body and they could attract your motion, your movement, your travel and things. It's just like that Antichrist 666 kind of things. So there was a lot of talk between religion, pseudoscience, and fake news to make the people kind of scared from the situation, especially the right-wing media, and that scared a lot of us, especially like even man of science like me. I kind of sit and say, well, I have to study more. Like I should be scientist. I say, no, this is all bull. Those guys also don't have the numbers. Let me go with the science. But they brainwash you in such a way to use the scare tactics, and it affect my sleep, my dream, like nightmare. You wake up and then you think of yourself, and then you think of my family overseas. Is my family going to be okay? My sister got COVID, my brother got COVID, and I got worried. My uncle died of it back overseas. So I start to get really worried because of my age. That's what I really studied the data, and I thought, well, the vaccine is really good at my age, and I better take it because I have a blood pressure, and I have taken metformin for very mild diabetes, diabetes 2. So I'm kind of in a high-risk group a little bit. So I thought I better protect myself with the vaccine. The vaccine, it's a true science, and that's what I did. A lot of people I know, they are kind of friends, but they're in the right-wing side. Until now, they told me, make a big mistake, Steve. You should not do it. You should wait. Because they say, well, after 30 years, it's going to affect you. I said, well, listen, I'm 68. After 30 years, I'm gone anyway.
What were some of the sources of right-wing media that were scaring you, and what were you scared of?
Well, scared of the mutation of the disease in your body, because especially in my situation, I got cholesterol, blood pressure, and diabetes. Now, do I take it? Of course, yes. But when those people comes and they say this and this and that, and it's going to be worse for you, here I'm in a dilemma. If I take it, it's going to affect me more, because I don't have data to prove that this vaccine going to interact and affect the diabetes, blood pressure, cholesterol, and the thyroxine. And there is no interaction between these medicines. So I pull all this medicine and biochemistry of each component of my pills and things, and I went back to the basic science, like I tried to do my own data of interaction. And I contact a lot of pharmacists, because those guys are much better than doctors and others when it comes to interaction and reverse, and the effect of certain medicine on other medicine and with that. So I went way back to basic science with virology and side effect of certain pills. And I didn't find any really. Certain chemical, I noticed that when I do it, I should stop for 3-4 hours until my body take it and so on. It's just the timing, which is like with any other pills. And you increase the water intake and so on. Like, and we found that a lot of other natural stuff you take, like turmeric and ginger and all this, it will help a little bit, which is normally it help your immune system to make you, and cinnamon and all this, to make sure your blood pressure in balance, your diabetes balance, cholesterol balance, and your immune system balance. Now, the immune system also going to affect on you. If you're stressed and you don't sleep and you get nightmare because this fake news, it's going to affect your immune system and it's going to affect the COVID intake. So the right-wing media actually affecting us tremendously because it's affect your thinking and your sleeping pattern. Your sleeping pattern is going to affect your stress level and anxiety, and that's have an effect on your immune system. And that's why the left media should actually point the finger on them, say, listen, this is illegal. We could really sue you for those. A lot of people who stop and refuse to take medication, that's number one. And for people who you scare them and affect their health and reduce the immune, and then that disease affected them more. And I usually see them a lot like on TV. Remember in Trump time, economically he was good, but there's a lot of mistake done, and I don't blame him really, because the COVID situation, like it just come from nowhere, and it affect everything. And I think part of him losing his election, I know his lie and his anger and all the other things, but part of it because of COVID situation too. And I used to listen to a variety of news like Fox News and other, which is those media that affect me a lot. And of course, when I go to the other side, they talk, but they don't have data. And you can see you're stuck in the middle between two people pointing the fingers at each other. And I end up doing my own data, which is I don't have time. Like I have to work 8 hours a day. I have to pay my bills and things like that. And I have my own personal issues. And so it affect us mentally a lot, you know, and it make me don't trust what I hear very easy. You know, before I used to trust the government, I trust them because, you know, this is, I thought, well, we have to trust them because without us, they are nobody, because we work, we pay tax, we build the country. You know, like I pay a lot of tax, and then as so many other people, and I thought, why the government want to lie to us and kill us? You know what I mean? Like, because some people, they always think that way, right? Like David Icke, that, like I used to read a lot about his books and other things. But later on, when I shut down this media, I stopped listening to them. Then I start to sleep okay and think okay and be in the balance kind of. And that's include even people I work with. Some people really right-wing, they don't wear a mask, they don't do this and that, and it's their right, but then some patient complain. And you see, there's a lot of conflict. At the end, some of them lost their jobs because they don't respect the patient. The patient comes scared. And actually, even if you don't believe, as a scientist, you have to play like a placebo effect. This is a patient, he don't know better. Even if you don't believe in it, put the mask, so he be okay. When he leave, that's your business, you believe or not believe. It's a placebo effect for him, you know. So it's a lot of mix of emotion. Like that disease really brought all the society. It exposed us, exposed our weakness, exposed our prejudice, exposed our bigotry, expose our fears in one little single disease, you know. And that's why I think when Trump, before this disease come, Trump threatened China with the tariff and all this. I felt it that China, we thought they're going to do a tremendous amount of damage through hacking and things. when the virus come exactly 3 months or maybe 6 weeks after when he declared that tarif, destroyed America. But of course, it destroyed a lot of other places. It was like Italy, remember, Europe, England, and all this went. So I don't know if this is a theory we making it, but it was like a highly suspicious. Only in that time, boom, it comes. Because I know those major countries like China, Russia, India, America, France, I know they have a lab, chemical lab, because sometimes when they go on the war, you cannot use nuclear, you ruin everything. The best second things with mass destruction is the chemical. And the chemical, which is biological, you can kill your enemy and destroy the economy in no time. And that's what I didn't trust China at the beginning. Something went wrong in that lab. They tried to cover it up. And until now, I still believe that. It's some sort of human error, indeliberately maybe. We can say indeliberately. But instead, they come up clean and tell us. And the other things I start questioning the United Nations and the UNICEF. They stuck with China for 6-8 weeks after thousands of people dying because China paying 4 to 6 times more than Americans, all about the money. In the end, they took a break. And that's why a lot of people start to point finger on WHO and the UNICEF and other people, because they were rubbing shoulder with China and they forgetting what's happening to our society and our people.
Would you share more about what it was like to lose friendships early in the pandemic?
Yeah, well, of course, before that, I lost my uncle, which is I love so much. You know, that uncle is like my father to me. When my dad moved to Iraq, my dad used to work with the king, King Faisal. He used to be his artist, portrait. And of course, after they killed the king, my dad was put in jail for 5 years because of political things. That uncle really took care of me. So when he died, it tremendously affected me, you know. Until now, I cry for him. He's like father figure for me. But then when I left Middle East, when I moved to Canada in 1980, of course, I never went back. Losing friends 6 times than losing this relative, because I interact with the friend always. Some of the friend, I lost them because of me. I cut relationship with them. I felt angry. But instead of being rational, like a good person and logical and think, well, this guy in Canada, he's got nothing to do with China or other country. I didn't. I start to see I lost economy. I lost my job. I lost my money. The people you love, they start to get sick and disease. Some of them die, and my own other friends start to get divorced before of it. So I need somebody to blame. And that's like it's like in the human nature. That's most of the wars started like this. You need somebody to blame if you are hungry, if you don't have. So that's why you always go invade and do something. In my situation, I cut the relationship just to cocoon myself, because I really needed time to see. I try to be away from, to me, I call them negative impact on me. And I left them. It affected me a lot. It gave me like different feeling. How long am I going to stay away from them? And then the more or longer you leave them, it's very hard to go come back and you go apologize, because then you're going to feel stupid. Some of them understand, you know, but some of them until now, I never spoke to them. I love to, but I don't know how to reach out back to them. You know, some of them, like, they're a good friend. I should say send an email, say hello, whatever, but I didn't. And some of them, I couldn't, because some of them really felt that I left them because of that. Yeah, it's really affect our mentality when it comes to it.
For the people you did reach out to apologize, what did that look like?
Yeah, of course, they know. They say, we've been through it, and you're not the first one, Steve. They tell me examples way before that. And of course, I didn't leave them because of other things, not because of their Chinese or face look different or religion. It's not that. It's just because of that virus. I blame them because those guys, they really go to China. And they have the money. The Chinese hardworking and they love traveling. And they brought us all this mess. That's what I thought. And some of them, in the beginning, of course, I bought into this idea that among the Chinese, thousands who've been sent to Europe and Latin America and UK and all this, some of them deliberately sent by the Chinese, all you need is a small vial of virus. You just dump it in the airport. Nobody see you. Like, you don't need a big bottle so they could travel. You only need like a little small bottle. You hide it somewhere and nobody can discover it. As soon as you are in the washroom, you break it there, you break it in this side. And of course, they might have a way to not contaminate themselves, whatever. They could do that. Like, all you need 20 or 30 agents, if those Chinese, they go, they could infect Italy, UK, America, and all the rest. Because as soon as you infected one area, the other one in one area, a couple cities, soon it'll be like a spider web all over. Until now, I feel that China did this. But this is on government level. I should not blame the people. You see, that's the thing I start to kind of come to conclusion with, and, you know, email some of my friends and back. I told them, forgive my arrogancy and my fear and I isolate you guys. You are even worse, because we kind of, by doing this, we add in kind of fuel to the fire, because I know some Chinese got hurt, they got beaten, the houses got on fire, their business got on fire. And when I see that on TV, I got so upset. I said, I'm not better than them. Like, those guys, why they do this to those people? Then when I see that thing coming on TV, and I start to get so upset, and I reach out to the people I can, and those people I cannot reach. One of these days, I have to find some excuse and email them back and I explain to them. Some of them, actually, one of best friend who live in China. They are UK citizen, but they have a very good business in Shanghai and things, you know. And that happened, same thing when Iran attacked Iraq, and my family used to live there and they killed my brother. I banded all my friends who are from Iran or linked to it. Until nowadays, I don't talk to them, because I just blame them on killing of my brother. My brother was 28 years and it killed by Iranians. And I thought, they are everybody Iranians to blame. And I know there's a lot of good Iranians. They ran away from this regime. They live in here. And Iran, you remember, already attacked and killed 250 people in the plane, you remember. And we have a lot of people here. But I got kind of very upset when the war started, destroyed Iraq, destroyed Yemen, destroyed Syria, Lebanon, so all because Iranian terrorist regime. And now they come and try to make a nuclear bombs and things. It make me more scared than the COVID. COVID is nothing compared if Iran get hold on nuclear. So I always kind of put a bubble around me and isolate those guys, because part of my brain think, well, if I'm going to friend those guys, they're going to brainwash me. It's like a protective mechanism inside me to make sure I isolate myself to protect myself. I don't know if I was wrong. In some situation I am, and some maybe I feel like I was okay, because it gave me some sort of revenge and the feeling, because you have to have a resolution at the end. You have to have a something that's you overcome that. How are you going to do it? Nobody give you data. Nobody give you nothing. Everybody point finger. And then I thought, well, I protect myself by isolating myself. And then this is like my revenge, leaving those guys and cut them off. And if everybody do this, then China will sit and think again. So, well, it's going to affect our livelihood and our economy. We better not do that.
How would you compare Trudeau handling the pandemic in Canada with what you were witnessing about Trump handling?
Well, Canada, of course, it's a liberal since that time until now. And liberal, they usually go with the science. I like that. You know, the following the science is very good. But they have to come clean too, you know. Don't be harsh on the people who don't believe in it, because there is no data in the beginning. And that's the mistake. We turn like a dictatorship and communism. Some people just don't want the vaccine. They're scared. We all did. Like, I was one of them in the beginning. So they didn't use their tactics and their, you know, like, you have to be very kind, very nice to it, you know, not force it. I know you have no time because a lot of people get infected. But again, like any other disease, you're going to get a herd immunity, you know, just like the measles and any other things. So they didn't handle it because they were forcing it, especially on the travel. I know a lot of people lost their tickets. They could not go there, and they forced you to go to hotel, pay. It's all about the money. To me, it's coming all about the money. The exam take $270. Then you go to the other city, get another $270. You'll be forced to go to a hotel. So to me, it's all about the money. They force it a lot, but they have a basic of science. In a Trump situation, they dismiss the science, and that's hurt them. They did very good in economy, and over there, they put the economy over the health, which is also not good. So you got two people here, lefties and righties, each use a different strategy. Both of them didn't work. You know, and a Trump situation, the problem is not just Trump. If somebody else was rather like some other Republican, it would be a different situation, because the Trump is blunt. The problem, he used personal issues and fake news, and he put it in, injected. And of course, sooner or later, the people, they know the reality, the real fake news never lasts long. Just Hitler used it many times, and at the end, it always, you know, exposed. And that's what the problem is. Like, I mean, Trump, I love his economy, but the problem, he didn't side with the science, and he started attacking Fauci and the other doctors and things they shouldn't. And you remember the situation, you know, inject yourself with detergent. What is this? And then he said, no, I was joking. He wasn't joking. So he should shut his mouth and let the science speak and do your politics and what you are good at it. He will be the great president. But didn't work. You know, like, we need something between them, something based on science, yet you have to be kind. You have to give the chance to the people who believe in God, people who refuse to do this. Those people pay tax. Everybody have idea. It's very tough to make everybody satisfied, but you cannot force it. You cannot force it by right-wing idea or left-wing ideas. But just like I said, it's a brand new disease. We didn't know that. It was a lot of people use the scare tactics. Some other people use it to make more money. You remember, a lot of people got to be millionaires because of it, while we are in the grassroots taxpayers losing our job, our houses, and so on.
What was the process like of getting benefits in Canada? Were you on CERB?
Yeah, like here, because we pay for EI, employment insurance, and all this. Even if you don't, the good here in Canada, even if you don't have the employment insurance, I know people they don't have, they still got the money. But the only mistake Canada make, like, let's say you make $15 an hour, and I make $58 an hour. You get $2,000, I get $2,000. This is communism. It just doesn't work. For the $15 an hour, this lady, I know my clerk work, they live only in one room. She got $2,000, her husband get $2,000, $4,000. I get only $2,000, I have a mortgage to pay. So it didn't work. Like, if I went to EI, I could even make better. I make $4,000 or $3,006. But no, they make it as a communist cut. 2,000 for each, and that's it. And that's a mistake. You know, they should get the people as a layoff to get the real EI amount, the top money. And then the government should put extra 500 or 600 to it, because that's before the situation went up 20-30% gasoline now and the food supply. Before, thank goodness, everything was okay, but people cannot pay the billing. Yeah, and of course now the government comes with revenge indirectly. You don't feel it. All this increase in food and gasoline, all made up. All made up, and we already know that. Since I moved to Canada 40 years ago, they always say, oh, because we don't have a refinery. And we used to build a refinery, by heaven's sake. 40 years ago, we went in the street. I was one of the demonstration to ask, build refinery. You can make 4 or 5 refineries in Canada. Yeah, yeah, we're moving forward. Where are you going to move it forward? You'll be reaching the moon by now. They keep telling me, moving forward, since 1980, I heard that. Until now, and they always blame the refinery. It's all, they want to make money more. And of course, now they're increasing our interest rate and our house taxes and all this. And the bank went up because they tried to cover the inflation. Yeah, so they kind of a little bit better than America in the beginning because they act fastly. But in the American side, in the Trump side, of course, he's a good idea. He opened businesses because, for you know, as a Republican or conservative, they always, it's capitalist. So they want the country to keep going, which is a smart idea. Because if your country destroyed economically, China and Russia will win. We'll be way down impoverished, you know, with the, not just the disease. So to me, you have to have a balance. That's why they have to create a third power or third party. It only comes in situation like this. Situation when the lefties and the righties, they cannot handle it anymore. Those kind of group, bunch of scientists, social worker, technocrat and things, balance from all kind of life to take hold of the country and balance it economically and so on, without any fight with those left and right ideas, and put the middle, the people in the middle, while thousands of people dying.
What prompted you to move from Calgary to Grand Prairie?
Mostly because of my job. You see, as soon as I lost my job, you know, my boss, I don't blame him. He's a Chinese guy. Of course, that's in the beginning, I did blame him because I thought, here we go. Chinese bring me the disease. Yes, he's Chinese manager making money and I get layoff. That one of the reasons make me really cut all my friends, not talking to Chinese. I don't even buy Chinese food or go, now I do. But before, I could go in Chinese store or Chinatown or spend $1 to Chinese. I know it's wrong, but I don't know how I explain it. That was only revenge I could take it. I know it's wrong deep in my heart. When I sleep, I feel embarrassed, but I don't know how to explain it. It's just like two person in you telling you something, and the other person says, you know what? You are good. You are revenging. So sleep good. So when he laid me off, the bars are open. In Canada, they kept the bar opens. And when you go to the bar, you're going to get more disease. Why the bar opens? Because when you drink vodka and beer and things, a lot of money go to the federal government, more tax. But when they open the clinic, no, for them, it's a money hole. They have to pay for the procedures. And that's what I didn't understand. Here I'm in the medical field, health science, sitting at home while the beer and alcohol serving in the bar, poisoning the people's body with alcohol, while the virus killing us on the side. And the China guy, he kicked me out. And then I tried to find another job. Of course, I did found, but the problem, they want to use me like a working horse. I was living way south Calgary. Somebody hired me, actually 3 or 4 places hired me, but they want me to go to 4 different places. I have to go north and east and south, and every day jumping like that, and I couldn't. I said, listen, I'm not 16 years old. Just keep me in one clinic, please. Oh, no, because you do this and do this, and we don't have somebody do muscles. I want to send you there. So I wake up one day, and I applied to other provinces, and I got a few jobs, but I selected the one here because it's the same province. It's only 8 hours drive north of Calgary. And it's a brand new clinic, very good people. And they actually give me 25% extra more than I make in Calgary. They give me 100% benefit. And he pay me even every single, all my movement, $13,000-$14,000 just to move my house. He pay me accommodation here until my house get built here. You know, and he even paid the penalty for me. You know, when I have a mortgage, if you leave it, you have to pay penalty. So the penalty was $4,700. My boss here paid that for me. So I thought, this guy really want me, really invest in me, and I work really hard for them. I can, for every time I have a bad idea or something, I remember what he did. I work extra hard for him. And again, he signed that contract. I told him, if there's any virus come, it's not just this virus, but any other virus, you have to sign that you keep me full time. He signed that, and on one condition also, if the hours can change. I said, I don't care. As long as I get 8 hours a day, doesn't matter what time. And we signed in, we are happy. I never look back again. And as soon as I left, until now, my place is not taken. I remember the first 6 months, they kept emailing me, why you left us? Why? I said, well, think about it. You left me, you dumped me. After 8 years, I was loyal to you. And you went, which, you know, because he hires some people, he paid them 50%. Anyway, some of them not even registered in Canada. Some of them don't even have license, because certain job you need a specific license. And I could go on and on with this, but I know he tried to save in a buck, but the patient deserved the best. You know, patient deserve you because you're registered, qualified, you got the knowledge, the know-how. Even if you have experience, it's fine. But if you don't have the registration and the license and the qualification, you're endangering the patient. Yeah, so I left him, and, you know, I still friend with him because I just want him to get, a, you know, get him from my back, because he still emailed me, you know, he wants me back.
When you decided to get vaccinated, what was access to vaccines like in Canada?
We got all of them, actually. We got the Moderna. And what I did, because I did also a lot of studies, so I got, I sometimes in the weekend, I stay up to 2 o'clock at night studying everything from Middle East, all the news, BBC, CBC, CNN, and all this. And I check everything, the left and the right. And I see the data, and I see how many people die with this vaccine, how many people die with this vaccine, and the ages. And, you know, until I zoomed on Moderna, it turned to be, for me, it's more safe and more, and I got not too much negative things about it compared to other ones, you remember. But of course, later the data tell us it wasn't the vaccine, but it was the side, if it was because of, you know, the high risk people. The more high risk, the more you get in trouble. And I took the Moderna. I didn't, after 3-4 months, like after the study, I was sure, you know, this virus, really vaccine really protect me against the virus. So I took it without any fear. That's the first one. You know, and of course, the second, we took it because I waited again for the data. You remember, the data took time to find out that you will get 70% to 75% with Moderna if you get the second booster, you know.
Other than the pandemic, what have been some of the other social and political issues on your mind over the last couple of years?
Well, I was worried about war in the beginning. I said, here we go in the middle of viruses. And when Trump was there, because Trump worried me more, because Trump was kind of very aggressive. And I thought he gonna attack Iran. You know, that was kind of in my mind. I wish he did before he leave. I know some people don't like to hear that, but that's my belief, you know. And I think they are the worst virus in this earth. It's not the COVID of China, but the Iran influence They destroy Lebanon, they destroy Yemen, Syria, Iraq. Millions die because they were the one who brought the Americans because of the oil and things. American lied just to invade Iraq, and look what happened. Some of my family members still live in Iraq. They destroy it, you know. I mean, there is a way you can get rid of leadership without destroying the country. But for them, it doesn't work that. They have to destroy the country so they could rebuild it, so they could get billions of dollars, and they could get discount on oil. That's what Biden went to Saudi. You know, Biden went to Saudi just to force him, because he's not real good diplomatic. You know, in the beginning, he started attacking them. You shouldn't, when you are a diplomat. Let the other guys, other minister, attack them. You're a president. And when you go, so I don't know, that's the minister of whatever, say that. I will see to it. I didn't say that. But you don't go and attack. And of course, now they don't rub shoulder with you. And he go to Israel. And of course, all placebo effect again. Nobody going to resolve Palestinian issue. Nobody. And he tried to show to the Middle East, you know, we are working with the Israeli. Then he went to Saudi. He didn't even shake his hand. He shook the hand of Prime Minister, but he didn't. And the Arabic people, very, very sensitive when it comes to this issue. And I read stuff you guys don't read, because I read in Arabic until now. And they focus on this issue. Disrespectful, they call him, and all that. And then he just declared, Biden said, I didn't come in Saudi to meet the Prime Minister, but I come to her for the region about oil and things. So he tried not to give a weak spot to the Republicans, because the Republican now, they say, look, he went there bagging them for oil and things. And so he should leave all this to an energy ministers with a group, very diplomatic, very smart, dealing and wheeling, and leave and focus on reducing the tax and building America, and focus on making sure the unity, even if I'm with him now, if I'm Biden, the first thing I stopped was going on. I said, listen, Trump made a mistake. Let's stop the damn thing, the court and things and the witch hunt. I know it's wrong. I know he did this wrong. If we go to Christians, let's do it. Forget it, please. It's okay with you. You're okay with you. Let's focus on issue about gun control a little bit. We're going to forget this, but you have to give me something here. And so on. When you be kind, trust me, the other person, try to be kinder or a little bit kind. Without kindness, this country will kill each other. And that's exactly what Russia and China won. They won because, not because they superpower the economy, but because they turn us against each other. And that's when I finally wake up and I thought, here we go. If I'm going to hate the Chinese, my friend here, or be prejudiced, I make the Chinese communists win, because they make me sick. They make me not a human. They make me hate monger, and they did good job of it. And imagine I can judge myself nicely. Imagine people who don't have that level, and they have the hate up to here, and they're full of hate and anger and things. You cannot change those people. Those people, and to me, it's usually inherited. When more hate in your body, believe it or not, chemically, you affect your DNA, you pass it to your generation. People think, well, there's no data, but I studied a lot about that, and it happened. More negative you are, more anger and depression, you pass it to your DNA, you pass it to the kids, you create generation of hateful people, anger and depressed and things, and we already have 20% of our society mentally ill. One of each five in North America, they have some sort of personal problem. Imagine if he inherited all this again, plus what you see in the media. That's what you see, all those mass murderer and killer, and you know. So it's everything work together. Like, they have to be started with the diplomacy, the kindness, and then bridging between these. Now we destroyed the bridging between us, between the right and left, between our people. We lose the trust. And then when you lose the trust, you lose your country. That's exactly what they done to Iraq. They used the Kurd and Arab, the Shia, the Sunni. They destroyed the country. They did this in Yemen. They did this in Syria, and so on. So it's just just one of these things. You've got to get everything together, the politics, the religion, the economy, the social, the mental, all together, but it have to be handled by people specialized in each of. Not Trump comes there and say, okay, inject detergent in your body and all this. It's really not funny, and it make America and Canada very stupid. Like I can, because I study a lot of stuff and I can hear chatters and other language. It make me really upset to hear something, because I'm Canadian. I've been in Canada for years. Somebody comes and tell us all Canadians are stupid and hooligans, and they really upset me. It's just because our leaders don't act like, you know, in the leadership level.
I'm curious, what does the word health mean to you?
Well, to me, health, it's a package. It's not just your physical health. And this is the question, the really important question, because for a religious guy, he's going to tell you the health have to start with faith. With, you know, Buddhists, they say our religion is kindness. When you be kind, you be more healthy. So if you're mentally not healthy, you'll physically be destroyed. So health is a complete package, mentally, physically, and emotionally, before you come to economic. So health to me, it's a balance of happiness. Balance of happiness, if you have health and you're poor, you cannot go be more healthy, because you cannot buy more health, you cannot make a new teeth, you cannot get a new glasses. So your health will deteriorate. So you have to have a good job. To get money, you get a good health. So people say, well, the money is first. I said, no, because the mentality is first. How we think, how we act, how we can get a balanced individual. Because the Muslims say we're right. The Christians say, no, we're right. The Jews say we're right. So we have to figure a way to integrate all those. We say we're human. We're all right if we think right. If we balance, we leave the religion to God, and you discover your way through life. But how we be healthy? By eating healthy, drinking healthy, think healthy. So positive. Like if you, Canada have a lot of water, and some people in Canada, they don't even have clean water to drink. And of course, you're going to have a lot of unhealthy people. But health starts with the top, the mentality is it. Just like the Indian, they use the five level of chakras, and they use the mental sway in the top, and then of course the emotion and physical. So it have to be balance of all these package.
What does the word safety mean to you?
Well, safety, it explain itself. I mean, it's not safety from danger, actually. It's safety to me, it's how I protect the society from myself. Like I just explained to you, safety, as soon as something come up, I'm right away turned to a prejudice, turned to a hateful man, started to hate certain group because I thought, and that's create unsafety element. Because imagine I kind of control myself somehow. Imagine somebody have no level of control mentality, he might use gun, he might go and kill people. And that's exactly what happened. And I saw people start killing each other, certain groups, and burn them and things. And that's what the safety to me, it starts with the person itself. If you allow negative emotion and negative elements poison your mind, you'll be unsafe to yourself, to your neighbor, and to the society. So safety starts to start with yourself itself by the way you think, which is a negative idea, negative thinking, fake news.
Thinking about the really narrow ideas of safety under COVID, when they're treating safety as just a sort of physical thing. What were you doing before you decided to get vaccinated? What were you doing to keep yourself safer?
Yeah, we have actually. I applaud my boss because he was good. He's as soon as we started, we prepare way before, not because of that virus. We have all the gears, protective gears. Some people they don't even have in hospital, they didn't have. But thank goodness we have shield, we have the mask, we have enough supply. He knows that before, because the supply take time, you know, we have fires and we have a flooding that affect the trucks. So what he did, he went, he got 5 to 6 times the supplies. So we end up really good. Even some other clinic asked us to borrow something from us because they knew. So we managed to give to some other. So we were really protective. We didn't know how. And he also come working with our exhaust fan. And we did a lot of good measure. We follow the change. We have the patient don't change in our room. We have a special room, they change. And then when that patient comes, second patient goes different room. This room, nobody use it. We have a lady, she get paid, infection comes, she spray everything and clean everything before we allowed. And then we allowed about 10 minutes before anybody use it. So the virus, we didn't know how much time in that time, but he was good. And then we were lucky. So we have changing room. Some people don't have changing room. We have a lot of gowns, and the gown be sealed, and we don't send it to, we have our own washer and dryer with the chemicals and things like that. So we were lucky. Like I, and then the gloves and things, we keep it in a certain containers and things, and it go to the burners and all that. And of course, we cut down a lot on certain procedure we didn't do. And I remember the other things, when you do EV scan, endovag for pelvic ultrasound and things, we do like 2-3 times, you know, sometimes like cleanse it good. We got a special machine for it and all this. And I think he did good job with that. I give him applause for that. And I was safe. Like I come back to work here, we gown ourselves and everything, and we don't shake hands and all that. So we kind of good, and we are far away from each other. We have cameras and things to see, and with the speaker we communicate with patient. Patient stay in the car before he comes, so they make us feel better. But the problem, we don't know that the virus goes, you know, it goes in the air. Like you only need one sneeze, and we don't know how much that virus is gonna stay. Some people say, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, some people say 4 hours, you don't know. Then it turned to be the virus react differently to each fibers. Like if the fiber, if the virus goes in the zinc or brass, it die faster if it's settled down in iron or aluminum, things like that. So we didn't take a chance. We always mask, but the problem is deprive us from pure oxygen, you know, like sometimes we get headache and tiredness, like we rush to the washroom, we remove the mask just to breathe, you know, because wearing the mask for 8 hours, it's not a good idea, you know.
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
What's that?
How are you feeling about the immediate future?
The media?
The immediate future. So, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah. Well, like any other virus, I knew this from the second wave. They usually reach to 5 waves and they weaken up. The only problem with them, the mutation-wise. And the mutation changes from different countries. That's why we wrote, not just me, many other people, to the government. Certain country will have to stop them to come in here. I remember before... the Brazilian wave comes, and they listen. They learn from. So they stop the Latin American. They stop things. Some people from Egypt arrive. They brought the African variant, and they infected some Canadian. But they learn. So the immediate for me, I feel, is okay, because I think this virus will go down. But the problem is, as I know it from the 60s, every 10 years there's something coming up. So this virus is not the end. And I usually, because I study a lot of religion too and science, I'm not a pure scientist. I'm not pure fanatic religion. I mix the two. And I believe like this is, I mean, some people, they might say, well, here we go. This guy is not a real scientist. He talk about God. But I do believe that. I believe God here to intervene also. God would not allow the humanity destroy itself. He did in the past. To clear it and bring a different breed of a human to listen to him. But we avoided him now a lot. And of course, he know that. But we start to poison our environment. my immediate future ideas, it's not about the virus. The virus is going to end, other virus is going to come, but it's all in the environment itself. Through the heat, it's going to come fire and then famine. And then you can see already the prices of gas and the prices of food is up. Prices of gas will come down after the war stop and all this. But trust me, the food and the meat and things, as soon as they went up, they never come back. Because they're going to create a lot of, the people who sell it, they don't going to bring it back. Maybe a little bit. So I'm not really confident about government handling the environmental issue, which is in turn bringing a lot of the disease to humanity. You know, especially when it comes to water supply, clean water supply, air pollution, and all this. So this is my dilemma. I mean, I don't trust the government with this environmental issue. And if the environmental go down, again, it affects your immunity system. When immunity go down, then you're exposed to very easy to simple viruses, and it could be our demise.
You'd mentioned writing to the Canadian government. What did you write to them about?
Mostly we write in, like, of course, when you approach them with numbers and data. The main thing about shutting the border, in the beginning, I remember I hammered a lot of shutting the border. They were against it. They are Canadians. I say, I know. I made a choice to go. When something happened, I cannot bring death back to my family. And that's what we call it. They have to stay there. If you want to help them, maybe you pay them to stay in a hotel or something like that, or pay them for food. But their country is very rich. When it comes to it, it's a sorry, you cannot come back. I mean, it's just like very logic, but they didn't. So that's my first writing. Not just me, but a lot of people send us letter. We signed it. We signed like thousands, 2,000, 3,000. We collect this letter. We send it to the, not just to the prime minister, but to the other ministers and things, what they call these letters. You know, you read them, you sign them. You ask the government to do this and this as a taxpayer, as we fear for our children, our houses. And then the next, I start to write about the second, third, and fourth waves and the mutation. The other third, we ask them not to buy anything from China. And they did. And then the things they bought, it turned to be no good. So we lost millions of dollars worth of supplies, useless. Even the nurses didn't use it. So they didn't listen to us. So I blame the government of appointed people who is really not in the situation to make a sound judgment. I know they have a degree. The first thing I do, I mean, again, here I'm going to go be prejudiced. The first thing I do if I was the prime minister, I will get rid of the chief public health officer. She's Chinese. Now, I'm not against China, but here people are scared. The China virus is coming and nobody knows. And you put a chief public health, a China lady talking gibberish, is scaring the hell of me and scaring the hell of a lot of people. I will probably tell her to leave of absence, put somebody there, trustworthy. And a lot of people lost the trust in the system. I know when I say that, everybody say they probably say, hey, we go prejudice. You you know, I know with this, but that's how I feel. It doesn't have to be prejudice level and things. It have to be a smart strategist. You have to play strategy and be tactician. Get her to go take vacation, bring somebody else, and so on. So they still in their ideas of left wings and things, this should be this should be that. But they don't understand the fabric of our society here, you know. And then they go close churches and things. And I know that when people goes there and then a lot of people get infected, but they didn't know. The approach is differently. When they come very close, they hurt themselves because the churches and the mosque and the synagogue immediately say, look at that. Liberal are communist, which is not true. Liberal ideas, some of them really good. Good for labor, good for worker, for poor people. I am a pro-choice. Even I love God, but it's not my business to go and tell the lady, hey, you should not do this. It's not my business. That's between here and God. So this is the situation, you know, we end up with. Everybody, have ideas and no control. Everybody's saying something, and the media says something else. The people left in the dark and decided, don't know what to do. Honest, we sit down in the clinic and between us and things, and we talk. The main thing is who control what? What is the real and not real? That's most of our discussion. So we start to scientifically smart guess, wise guesses. And wise guesses without data doesn't work, you know? You know?
What are some of your hopes for a longer-term future?
My hope, hopefully, that both parties come really clean and united with the environment without affecting our economy. I know the Republican and the conservative have a point, I know, which is economy very good. We are hurting. You cannot spend billions. You've got to go slowly with it. My hope is everybody gives something. Those people should balance the environment without affecting our economy. The other guys should balance their ideology, get rid of, put gun control and get rid of the guns from the street. You know, even though that says in your right and in your constitution, they actually wrong. The constitution itself, when it written back in 1800, 850 and things like that, the gun they use, a gun with one bullet push with powder. That's the only gun you can have. They didn't know at that time they're going to have a machine gun and grenade. So using a machine gun is not constitution because it's not the gun they spoke in the 1800. The 1800, they have one pistol with one gun, one shotgun with one bullet, and one pistol with one bullet, some of them with powder. That's the gun they wanted, and that's it. But you cannot just go and say, oh, this is also a gun. No, it's not a gun. First, it's not the same gun before. Second, you add machine. Machine gun. Machine gun different than the term gun in the Constitution. So if you bring a good lawyer and fight them with the Constitution, say you're allowed gun and like that. So I hope both parties comes and give to each other, one for the environment, one for the guns, and then both of them work with the economy. But they work... Instead of competing positively, they do compete, but negatively. And this is the worst also. I know they have great ideas in the Republicans when it comes to economy, and great ideas when it comes to innovations and freedom in this side. But they all comes on the price of humanity. So again, we go back to the same issue, balance. My hope is balance. It's not just America and Canada. Like, I hope balance will be Middle East, Latin America, and all this, because without balance, we're going to ruin ourselves.
Who's been supportive of you during the pandemic? Who have you turned to when you felt stressed?
My main support, of course, my wife. You know, she put, you know, she sacrificed her job. But just before COVID, she quit her job with the bank, one of the bank here. She's an accountant and things. She worked many years with Standard Chartered, with CIBC, overseas in Canada. And just 2 years before the COVID, actually, and it quit. Because then we used to work, and we, when you make more, you pay more to tax. You come back home, we have to cook and clean and things. So we don't have time. Later on, she find like she really relaxed. She come home, everything clean, everything cooked. I make good money in the end. We don't pay much for the tax. You know, you pay your tax, but at the end, because in Canada they have a bracket. So when you go different brackets, you pay more. So kind of leading a nice balanced life. And she supports me a lot with it, because just like I say, some people, they end up divorced because of the situation. The wife did not understand. The husband did not. The husband was under stress. Economy stress. Some of the wives, they don't like that. I'm sorry to say, not too many of them. Most of the wives actually was very supportive, but some of the few, they couldn't handle it. They left the husband. They cannot handle poverty. I'm telling you, I know that some people, not a lot, but some people I know, they did. But in other ways, the husband left because they felt very weak, very, they cannot provide. It's kind of attack their manhood and the dignity and thing by not coming up with something to help their family. And I know one person went to San Francisco, and then when the family left, they still divorced, you know. Yeah, so of course, because you see, my family was overseas. If I was overseas, you know, your parents, your kid, your sister and brothers. I got six sisters and five brothers. Two brothers die, and so those, they one got killed by Iranian. Those are my main support through the media. You know, we talk through the media and things. But the immediate one, of course, it's my wife, and she was backing me up when I told her, listen, I cannot stay in Calgary anymore. It's I end up like a working horse. And with the COVID situation, by going to five clinics or four clinics is very dangerous. So that's why I moved.
What was it like keeping in touch with your family abroad?
Oh God, this was like every time I talk to them, it's like Christmas to me. You know, when I left them, they all 5 years, seven, eight, like that. And of course, my older sister, she have her own family. She couldn't help. My older brother in America, he have his own family, his Romanian wife and things, and they cannot help. He passed away, heart attack. So I end up like the older one. My parents start to help my parents. Then they told me, please don't forget your sister. So I dedicate myself 20, 27 years of sending half of my salary to them. They all graduate. One got master's degree, another one PhD. She left to Turkey, the BSc degrees, engineers. And so they all graduate, got husband, houses, kids. Until like the last 7, 8 years, I stopped. When I talk to them, the first thing in my mind comes, of course, I imagine them, they're still 6 years old. Honest, even when I talk to them and the kid, and then they remind me, because sometimes I don't talk to them through FaceTime. I talk to them because you don't see them as now. And they laugh and they tell, hey, Steve, I am 40 years old now. I talk to them like they are 10. But they understand, because when you leave, like the time of freeze, when you immigrate, the time freeze, the memory freeze, you know. But then you get used to it, you know. And of course, I get worried about them, because here in Canada, we got more science, better technology, ICUs and things, and better health system, pharmaceutical. They poor, like, I get scared, but I advise them, which is thank goodness with the media. You know, you can write English, they translated Arabic through Google. I write Arabic and so on. And of course, I send them a lot of packages. I send a lot of medication over the counter, prescribe one day when they send it, this and that from the doctor. I buy them and ship them. I ship a lot of medication, a lot of stuff, hygiene issue. Sometimes when they don't have electricity, not just like us here, at least we got electricity over there, they have like half day no electricity. No electricity, the water supply will be different. So I send them cleansing material, cleaning material for water pills and things, you know, which is things we take it for granted here. We only use it when you go camping and things. So I send all these supplies, help them. I tell them what to do. Even the radio, I send them. I send them crank radio. You don't need battery. You crank it. So you get a free flashlight, radio, and so on. So I send them all this emergency kit, hundreds of dollars. Like I send a lot of them to, and that would make me happy. At least I help my own family. And I thought if everybody helped their own, the society get a little better, you know.
What were some of the things that they were worried about over the last 2 years with regard to the pandemic?
The same issue, death, you know. I know all of us, I always remind them, all of us, we're going to die. But I know this is a classic. We want to live healthy, just like no fear. So you need to be healthy, no fear, and safety. The safety, which is you trust the government, you're going to give you safety water, safety food. The people sometimes, they get food, they die. Then they found that the government imported food laced with mercury and all this heavy metals. They didn't know, they didn't clean it, or they didn't mark it, because that food meant to be for growing only to kill the insects. It went in the wrong hand, it's sold in the market, people cook it and eat it, they die. So this is the things about safety, like how much you trust the government. Is the government intelligent enough to hire intelligent people to look into these little things? Even here in Canada and America, it happened. We have many dogs and cats die because somebody gets some supply from China. It was laced with some disease. I don't want to say 1,000, but maybe a couple hundreds died. Thank goodness the government controlled it in the last minute because we got very good lab and things. Some other people here and got infected with E. coli and things. Like, it happened even here in Canada and America. Imagine in a third world country. So most of the things, they worry about this. How the virus is going to affect them. They see their uncle die from it. And then, of course, we teach them, make sure you have no diabetes, you control your weight, sleep, don't be scared, so your immunity system go, drink, and so on. And of course, United Nations, through all the Minister of Health, they have the same procedure, the distance, the gloves, the things. So it kind of did the same thing. Everybody live in their bubbles. They sit in their home. And what they do, they watch TV. And which kind of TV? All fake news. So you're sitting home, you get brainwashed by a group or so, because back there in home in Middle East, most of the media controlled by the government. It feed you what they want. At least here we have like two kind of fake news, you know, liberal and conservative.
What are some of the things you've done to help take care of yourself during the pandemic?
Well, faith, you know, it's actually brought me to God more, because I thought, I always go reflect back on the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, the things. And I believe in all these holy books. They are here for a reason. It doesn't matter whether people say, well, this has been changed, this is what. It doesn't. The core idea is God have a plan to us. But he don't intervene just like that. He give us mind and brain and ability to decide for ourselves. He intervene when humanity get at the brisk of, he intervene, trust me. But he, and people say, well, how we allow 1,000 dies? And of course, because we run astray from it, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm sorry to say that might affect some group, but this is what I feel. And Sodom and Gomorrah, just like a few thousand years ago, God intervened with this. He don't want this to, because he knows it's going to destroy humanity. Now, what are we doing in the federal level and government level? I know that those people or the other people, they taxpayers. They can do their things. That's their business. But you don't go force them to open a church for them. The church, you can't. It is a contradiction. You can't bring those people to the church. Because I know, since, well, God is forgiven. I think it's contradiction. You can't bring this two opposite rides, like of magnetic, they repel. This is the idea. We try to force things on the church. We try to force things on community, because some communities say, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah have been destroyed because of those people. If we allow those people in our community, God have a plan. If those people don't come astray, we be destroyed and somehow, earthquakes, volcano, and so most of this famine and fire and disease, it comes for a reason. I know it doesn't sound scientific. It's got a lot of environment reason, economic reason, we discuss it. But also it's got religious reason in it, which is God tried to show us we are out of balance. We are out of balance ideas. And God give us, just like he gave Pharaoh, 9 signs, never listened, and he destroyed him. He didn't destroy him. He was so merciful with him. So the same thing with heaven. He give us AIDS. Then he give us a break. Then he give us Zika virus and give us this and he give us STDs. And trust me, humans gonna go worse and worse disease. More we don't listen, more we don't balance, God gonna send us things human being cannot control, because that's only the way he can control us. And of course, population control. Now, 8 billion people, this is too much, because we are not really ready to feed 8 billion people. I know the capitalists need people to buy things, to buy their junks, to buy cigarettes and alcohol and things, so people can be billionaires sitting in Hawaii while other people suffer from cancer of the lungs and things. My brother Sam died from lung cancer. from coronary heart attack of smoking after the emphysema, because he cannot quit. He got his cigarette when he was 12. He got American cigarettes. So American give good advertising to American people to not smoke, but they kick their poison to the Middle East to kill more kids and to destroy other nations. That's my belief. Now, again, I'm going through, I get to, people say about fake news or other theories, but that's how I look at it. I try to integrate God itself with the politics, with the economy and things, and ourselves. If we allowed to go extreme, if you go extreme right, it's dangerous. If you go extreme left, it's dangerous. Everything extreme is destroying us. So that's how I feel. Like it just, I don't know. Like if everybody, I mean, I know everybody have right to live where they go, because sometimes it's scaring me. Sometimes I don't know how to really think about it, analyze it. Sometimes when I pray, I ask God about it. I say, listen, I'm against that. So if your wrath comes, please not. I don't like that. You know, I cannot change it because I've been in a prison, because this is against freedom, against democracy. It's not me. You want to punish? That's the government. Those the rule maker. Go after them. Trust me, I say this in my prayers. So at least I believe that will happen. Somehow God will crush somebody or something by earthquakes, volcanoes, natural disaster in the hand of humanity. All this science, yes, because why science? We suck in the oil from the earth. The oil is a lubricant and heat reduction to earth. When you suck it, friction is going to increase, earthquake is going to increase, pumping the carbon in the environment, heat is going to be covered, more plant going to die, more algae is going to go, thousands of fish going to die, and so on. Sooner or later, all these animals will die and we got nothing to eat or hunt.
Do you think of COVID-19 as a historic moment, as a historic event?
Yes, I think COVID-19 is like the 9/11 of the viruses, a 9/11 awakening of a human that they have to stop and think. It turns us against each other, and we have to prepare for worse than COVID. Some virus is there, worse than COVID. It's there, just waiting for the time to be transferred. And God actually know about them. He make them, because when he created everything, he put them there for some reason, because he don't use soldiers and rockets like us. He used mosquitoes, flies, just like what they use in the Old Testament, you remember? And he used blood and diseases and plaques. He used this as a soldiers. He did this with so many nations before. If you read the history of the Bible, and there's so many nations destroyed by these plaques. And of course, a human, they sit down and get scared, and they go back to the same damn routine. When my brother died in America from the coronaries and emphysema, I called my other brothers. They smoke, and I showed them pictures, in the morgues and things. And when he died, they got scared for 2 weeks, and back smoking again. So human need to be reminded, always hammered. Until they balance. I know life, it's very different. You know, you wake up, you have to do this, you have to make money, you work, but we always sacrifice something. You go more material, you sacrifice your faith and kindness and things. You be more in a capitalistic, you ignoring the unfortunate people, the poor people, and so on. You go more liberals, and you start to help the people and the welfare system and all this, and you're taking money from the rich, then they get upset, because we work hard, you're smart. I know God give you a chance, give you a good family, you get good school, and you graduate, you make good money. And you want it, you know, it's up to you if you want to give. You don't go force you, oh, let's increase your tax because you're making over 80. Drive me crazy. Every time, like, I don't even have a chance to save any money. Like I'm 68, I pay $1.4 million taxes since I moved to Canada. I can't even pay my mortgage.
Would you tell me a little bit about your relationship with spirituality?
Very positive. It started with my parents, of course. My mom is the one who really set me. She started with the stories and things. And my mom, being in the middle, so she knows everything about the Torah, the New Testament, the Quran. And she set me up very healthy without judging other people. We have Jewish friend, we have Christian friend. We sometimes prejudice when it comes to food. We like kosher food. So it's up to them. Like, they could eat pork, we don't. Just like Hindus, they don't eat beef. We don't cook beef when they, you know. So my mom is like, my dad was actually not atheist, but agnostic. Because in his army career, an engineer and thing, and become an artist after that. Later in the prison, then he started to align with God and think, but not fanatic. So they taught us very good not to be fanatic. My sister, all normal people, they don't wear hijab and things, you know. I mean, it's up to them. If somebody wear hijab, just like the nun. If the nun wanted to be a nun, that's her business. That's why I don't like Quebec. Quebec people, they force the Muslim to take the hijab. What is your business? She pay tax, take hijab. How about the nun? The nun, she got the cover. All because we are Catholic. You see, they become fanatic. They judge other people. So with faith, I start to grow a little bit more and more. And actually, when I migrated to Canada, it helped me a lot to be way, 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 way balanced. Because here is very different. We have a society of more kindness than overseas. The overseas, actually, not the religion or the faith. The faith and the religion are pure, but the people poison it. The culture, they start enter their culture, their idea, which is God, got nothing to do with it. Like mercy killing, whatever killing, you know, in Jordan and Pakistan and others. They create ideas have nothing to do with the Quran or Bible or Torah. So fanatics start to rise. And then, of course, the injustice done by the superpower, stealing the people gold and stealing the country's oil and supply, France attacking certain country because of the gold. You see, France don't have any gold mine at all. But France, they are fourth country in the world with a gold reserve. From where they bring it, they stole all the gold from Mali. They killed the Malians. And so on. And a lot of other countries did the same thing, the Spanish, the English, and all this. And of course, after they left Pakistan and India and other things, and they went back to England and France and things, now they bring the law, oh, don't be barbarians. You guys, barbarian, killing each other. Well, you're the barbarian, you're killing India for 500 years, stealing all the jewels and the things. You don't talk about that. Holland and Belgium, they went to Africa, certain country, they cut the hand of the people. Because that person cannot bring more rubbers from the trees. He have to do that much. If he cannot bring that much a day, his hand will go. And you go to that country, so many people lost their hands. Like, if you cut their hands, how are they going to work? So you are the barbarians, the Western society. Now, of course, they turn a leaf. After they become billionaires, they have their own crowns and countries. And stole all these countries and neglected. And what happened? They're going to be breed for terrorism, for fanatics. And of course, you see what's happening. And the other things, they create the mess. I don't know if you know that. The top evil in the world created by the West, like Hamas. If you go to history of Hamas, Hamas created by Israel in the beginning. But then what happened? The people noticed they kill all the traders. They took Hamas, then they get money from Iran, weapon from Russia. ISIS is created by America, specifically by Obama. But ISIS leader, some of them ran away back because they get finance from Israel and Turkey and Iran. They killed, and the fanatic took over. And so on and so forth. So we created the evil to help American, British, and because they don't want to, a lot of soldiers die, so they create mess for the other guys and missionaries to attack and kill on their behalf. But people like me and you here, we don't know. They listen of ISIS, oh, ISIS, those Muslim terrorists. No, they are American-made terrorists. but somehow they've been taken, destroyed, and other fanatic come over for justice because they want to see justice. You go to Iraq, accuse them of weapon of mass destruction. There is no such a thing. The weapon of mass destruction exists in Israel and Iran. They are the one who so suited. You go destroy Iraq because that's what they want to feel. Mistake, Iraq done, invaded Kuwait, big mistake. But there is other way you can do it. Let them deal with themselves. And you send a balancer instead you send bombs.
If you could tell a historian in the future what they should, what kinds of questions they should ask about this moment, what kinds of stories they should tell, what would you tell them?
Well, the first thing is the question, the leadership, the stability of the leadership, the level of the leadership, and the people in the government who choose the ministers. Maybe 5% of the ministers are qualified. But most of them, because they have money, they bring more numbers, they brought them because they align with them. And in degree in America and the Western, actually you go a little bit because you bow by law. 50-50 kind of, you give the people what they want a little bit, but other 50 mostly politics. But in the Middle East or Latin America and corrupt world, mostly fanatic, have no degree, no qualification, run the country. Like in Iraq, very few ministers have PhD. The rest of them, they're controlled by Iran. It's just because they're theologian. Some of them have doctorate degree, just earned by, like, not from school, I think, just given by somebody in Iran and so on. And they run it, and they say, well, if you question them, you say, yeah, because we're the minister, but I hire a bunch of PhD with me. And I said, well, I never see those PhD tell you anything. You hire smart people to teach you, not to work. You tell them what to do. And that's what happened in Middle East, the corruption, the thefts in Africa, Middle East, because the leadership in a question. So the historian should hammer the leadership of that country. When you get a good leadership, kind leadership, just, scientific, and not putting detergent in your blood kind of leadership, those the people should be questioned. How, and then you will know the people. When you understand the leadership, you understand the people of that era. I know because, as you say, like in the books in the West, the victory write the history, the victor. So, and this is the dilemma. So when I study a Western perspective, a victory of a war, I don't look at them. I look at the losers, and I study the loser, and I, from the loser, I know what is the real justice there and what they really fight for and what how it look like that country. I never believe in what UK tell me, USA tell me, or Saudi tell me, or Iran, because they manipulate, just like you do here in fake news with Fox News and other, you know, and the same thing with the society is doing. So I probably ask him about this. Go look into the leadership and study them well.
I want to thank you so much for your time. Those are all of the questions I know how to ask right now.
Yes.
But if there's anything you want to share,
yes, please.
Is there anything else you'd like to share before I let you go?
No, so far, so good. I think the best thing I'm going to do, using time to slowly get back to my friend, send them email. And I think, you know, the best thing, most courageous thing is to apologize. I think I have to apologize for them. And it's a learning curve for me. I never been in this situation before. And because of fear, you know, so I'm going to probably tell them exactly what I'm talking to you like this, but in a kind way, so without alienate them. And I know it's very tough because even when I bring them as a friend, they're going to still broken. Because when you break the glass, you can crazy glue it, you can bring it to glass, but it's still broken. And that's what I'm going to kind of feel guilty about. It's just I broke that trust and those friendship because my fear, you know, and I kind of isolate them. So I think I'm just going to write an apology for them and hopefully to be a better man, you know, somehow this virus kind of teaches a lot, teach us fear, but yet teach us about ourselves.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.